When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is so exciting looking for a new home, but it absolutely is overwhelming and daunting if you do not have the right resources. Homes.com is home shopping the way it should be. It's more than just a website. Homes.com is your personal guide to finding the perfect home. Get to know a neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. With Homes.com's comprehensive neighborhood details, you'll get in-depth guides, detailed videos, and unbiased insights from a variety of sources. Parents and parents-to-be will love Homes.com's detailed school information. From test scores to student-to-teacher ratios, you'll have the info you need to find the right schools for your kids. Having the right agent can make or break your home search. Homes.com's agent directory and profiles offer a detailed look at each agent's experience so you can find your perfect match. And Homes.com's features a listing agent on each listing so you can easily connect with them without having to scramble to find contact info. Go to Homes.com to learn more. We've done your homework.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. I want you to conjure an image in your mind of the white stripes. Not those white stripes, but the white stripes that divide the lanes of traffic going in the same direction on a major highway. How long are those stripes? You can spread your arms out to estimate if you want to. Over the course of many years, a psychology researcher named Dennis Schaefer at Ohio State asked students from many different parts of the country this question.
And the most common response was 2 feet.
So if you're like most people, you estimated that those white stripes are 2 feet long, maybe a little more. But if you did, you'd be very, very wrong. This is Tom Vanderbilt.
My name is Tom Vanderbilt. I'm a writer in New York and author of Traffic, Why We Drive the Way We Do, and What It Says About Us.
Every 3 pages of Tom's terrific book, Traffic, I could probably turn into a 99% Invisible episode, but back to the highway.
Well, early on in my research, I was talking to a highway engineer.
And he said, if your car is ever broken down on the side of the road,
if you've ever been sort of forced to get out of your vehicle on a highway,
just take a moment to notice what a strange landscape it is.
If you happen to be standing near a road sign, these road signs are huge. I mean, they're not meant to be experienced as humans on foot. They're meant to be experienced at 75 miles an hour.
With the clear view typeface.
Perfectly visible, retro-reflective.
And then there are the white stripes.
If you actually kind of got out of your car and were able to walk on a closed highway and walk from one end of those stripes to the other, you'd find that, I mean, years ago in the United States, the highway standard was 15 feet long, which is longer than a car itself.
Current Federal Highway Administration guidelines suggest a length of 10 feet with 30 feet between the dashes.
That's something that is shocking to people.
And remember, most people in the Schaefer study said that those stripes were 2 feet long.
That's such a vast gulf there between. It's not sort of like, they're actually 5 feet. We thought they were 2, margin of error kind of thing.
And it goes back to this fundamental point that when you're in a car at high speeds, you're experiencing only a sense of the landscape rather than the actual landscape.
This kind of sense of the landscape has been presented to you to essentially make you feel comfortable.
And to make a highway work at what are really evolutionarily ridiculous speeds for a human to travel.
You have this big, flat, wide open, kind of stretch of road that even if you have a 65 mile an hour sign, the message of the road is telling you something entirely different. And I think that's really where a lot of our behavior comes from. Sometimes, you have sort of willful speeding, willful kind of law breaking, but a lot of it is just people are paying attention to the visual messaging of the road, not to their speedometer.
Long dividing lines and clear vistas give the illusion that you're going at a reasonable speed. As soon as something encroaches into view, you get a sense of how fast you're going. That's one reason why those temporary concrete walls that crews put up right next to the road during construction are so unnerving. The error in perception of white stripe length is attributed to the fact that when we drive on the highway, we tend to look so far ahead that we usually only experience the dashes and gaps when they are very far away and at an angle where they look shorter. But there's no consensus as to why people all over the country were so consistently wrong with the 2 feet estimate.
It's become one of my favorite cocktail party, you know, facts.
Mine too.
Stump the driver with this white stripes information.
I don't want to leave you with the impression that the white dividing lines are uniform, though.
You won't find, you know, 10-foot highway lines on, a boulevard in New York City.
And you probably won't find 10 or 15-foot stripes on bridges or highway on-ramps.
Or let's hope you don't, because that's kind of an entirely inappropriate design language for that space.
Limited access highways are designed for a very precise purpose.
There's the highways meant for uninterrupted, fast-flowing traffic. Get people from point A to point B as quickly as possible with no interruptions. I mean, that sort of environment does not work in cities or suburbs.
The problem is when that approach is grafted into places where it doesn't belong.
I think we're actually kind of paying the price for this right now in some suburban environments where you find these kind of arterial highways that were built almost to a highway engineering standard with, again, these long sight lines, wide roads, encouraging people to go fast. And then we went and built all kinds of development along those arterial highways, which was never really supposed to be there.
But with so many people driving on these roads, they became absolutely irresistible to commerce.
This is kind of the new American main street, right? Where you have your Costco's and your fast food and all sorts of in and out parking lots, driveways, drive-throughs, yet people also going very fast. And a guy named Eric Dumbaugh does a lot of research suggesting that these are really some of the most dangerous places to currently drive in America, not crowded urban cities, which is what a lot of people would think.
The whole approach is called the forgiving road.
The idea was that, you know, to first try to minimize the potential that a crash could happen through, again, through lack of obstacles, you know, generous sight lines, all these sorts of things. But then if a crash did happen, to kind of mitigate the effects of what would happen, to not punish the driver for the mistake that he will inevitably make. This was, I'm quoting some of the language from the time. So you see that nowadays in things like in California, you'll have your guardrails that are sort of wire guardrails that if a car strikes that guardrail, it tends to catch on the guardrail rather than being bounced back out into traffic, which causes another series of collisions.
So this forgiving road is a positive thing in terms of good safety engineering.
But they were so sort of seduced by it that the call was made to bring it into even the surface street network. So things like street trees began to be deemed hazards by engineers, just outright hazards. I mean, and that makes sense on a high-speed country road, but if you're talking about a residential street where you're not supposed to be going more than 25 anyway, is the presence of a street tree on the side of the road where it's providing shade and comfort to pedestrians, you know, is that the same sort of hazard? Is it even a hazard at all?
The conclusion many planners came to was yes, trees are a hazard.
You find pre-war suburbs, you have the street, a set of trees, and then the sidewalk. Post-war, this sort of shift began to happen where the trees were moved on the other side of the sidewalk.
Suddenly, pedestrians were put into the position of being the buffer between drivers and those menacing trees.
There was sort of a pernicious thing that happened here is that, you know, as you move those trees away, the visual sensation of the road became wider. And if there's one kind of iron law of traffic engineering, it gets into this visual perception thing as well. The wider a road is or is perceived to be,
the faster driver speed tends to increase.
And of course, you know, the final, if you look at sort of 1990s era, you know, suburbia, that they just kind of eliminated the sidewalk and the trees altogether. So that was sort of the final solution, just eliminate any kind of hazard.
And Tom Vanderbilt says you can almost date a subdivision's development based on that shift.
And this points to one of the problems about road engineering is that humans tend to consume the extra engineering measures that have been built in for their safety. Much in the same way, I like to draw the analogy with some of the research that's been done on food packaging by Brian Wanzek at Cornell University. You're doing experiments where, you know, if you give people, just random group of people, large buckets of popcorn filled to the top with popcorn and give them a smaller amount of popcorn in a smaller package, they'll just eat more of the larger package, it has nothing to do with their level of hunger. It's just the size of the package influences their behavior. And I think a lot of our road environments are sort of like that. They're over-engineered for this safety, and then we tend to consume a lot of the extras, getting us back to this kind of homeostatic edge that we're always kind of playing with, I think.
"99% Invisible" is Sam Greenspan and me, Roman Mars. It's a project of 91.7 local public radio, KALW in San Francisco, and the American Institute of Architects in San Francisco.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation. If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. The hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal, with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. We've been going through a really big cheese quesadilla phase in our house. I don't know why. Every kid wants one. So I cracked open the medium salsa to make everyone happy, and I'll save the hot one just for me. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. Article believes in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too. Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs make furniture shopping simple. Article's team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and looks good doing it. I have Article beds, coffee tables, sideboards, an Article dining set. I was just perusing the site because we're doing up the outside and need some patio furniture. We haven't decided what item yet, so check it out. Tell me what I should buy. I'm sure whatever you pick out for me will be great. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. They're having their Memorial Day sale from May 13th to May 27th, which would be the perfect time to use your store credit on top of sale prices. To claim, visit article.com/99 and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/99 for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Better work presentations are possible. They're called Canva presentations. You can supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. Just start with a prompt, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Or start with a stunning template and add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from their massive media library. You save time and wow your audience. There's a reason why Canva is used by 90% of the Fortune 500 companies. So nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations by heading to canva.com. Designed for work.
You can find the show and like the show on Facebook. In fact, that's where a lot of the discussion and interaction happens, so join us over on Facebook. We're getting pretty close to 10,000 likes, which I would really enjoy. I tweet at Roman Mars, and we have links to all the stuff that we've been talking about in this episode at 99percentinvisible.org. Oh, one more thing. I and every other creative audio lover owes a huge debt to the Third Coast International Audio Festival, and every year I send them a little something to make sure that they keep going. or I buy a t-shirt and they have hands down my favorite t-shirt design in the whole world. Across the front is the word LISTEN written in Braille. I have like six of them in every color. It's a must-have for any radio lover. You can find out the various ways that you can support the Third Coast International Audio Festival at thirdcoastfestival.org.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.